Morning, hello. Thanks for being here. Let's talk about macOS and Intel the enablement on OpenSUSE Tumbleweed. My main goal here is to show you why I think this is an interesting approach and show you how it works, some details, some useful data, so you can draw your own conclusions about this. Starting, I'm Antonio Álvarez Feijóo. I work at SUSE, the System Boot and Init team. And I mainly work maintaining Dracut and, to a lesser extent, helping with systemd. So I assume that you already know what an initRD is if you are here, so I will be very quick. The initRD takes part in the boot process between the kernel and the host system manager. The goal is to find and mount the real rootFS, which can be on a local device, over the network, with a fancy layout like RAID, LVM, etc. And once found and mounted, perform a switch root operation and execute the rootFS in its process. It is loaded into memory by the bootloader, mounted by the kernel as in-memory file system. It's composed of a set of one or more CPU archives. And it is optional, and it can be compressed. So a little bit of history about this in OpenSUSE. The host system manager is systemd since November 2011. And the initRD generator by default is Dracut since November 2014, which is 3 years later. But the first upstream release of Dracut was 1 year before the first upstream release of systemd. And the first upstream release of Dracut supporting systemd was 2 years after. So as you can guess, Dracut is not optimized for systemd. It contains a lot of code, which is it runs every time the system boots. That doesn't have to do anything when systemd is around. Anyway, Dracut is not only our default initRD generator, but also the most widely used by other distributions. It is composed of a set of bash scripts and a C binary helper. And it builds initRD images by picking files from the host system, and it adds custom logic to the boot process using 10 systemd services as a means, plus two other systemd, two more systemd services that take part in the exitRD. It adds hooks, which are ways to inject scripts at boot at some point. Breakpoints extend the kernel command line via etc. The init queue, which is a blocking loop, checking that all the necessary hardware is being discovered. And macOS initRD can be considered another initRD generator. But the way it works is different. I mean, it is a wrapper on top of macOS I, which in turn is an OS image builder. And specifically, is the image builder created by systemd. They have the same upstream. So it is the image builder that best integrates with systemd. It is written in Python. And to build it in 3D images, it uses distribution packages and package managers. In our case, RPM and Zipper, but in other distributions, whatever they use. So the main goal is to be as dumb as possible. I mean, if some specific functionality has to be implemented, it must be elsewhere on any specific package, not in macOS initRD. So there is no extension of the kernel command line via etc. That only works with Dracut. In fact, right now, the systemd units and generators ignore this extension made by Dracut. So there is not alternative real. I mean, maybe using temporary files, but not extending the curriculum online. There is no hooks, but this functionality can be implemented using systemd units and generators. And there is no init queue, so you have to subscribe to that events to be notified as every new hardware is being discovered. And there is no exit RD, so, but this can be more or less done with systemd shutdown, because systemd shutdown allows to execute some scripts at shutdown as a cleanup. In fact, MDATM is doing already this. So how can we specify what we want in the initRD image created using MakeOS initRD? Mostly using configuration. It is composed of init configuration files with drop-ins allowed, systemd style, custom file system trees, and build scripts at different points, but most of them these are not necessary. So what do we have out of the box? Lags decryption. And using profiles, profiles is a new feature currently in JIT main. And it's like, intends to be more or less like Dracut modules. I mean, it's a predefined configuration set, which under a certain name provides a certain functionality. Upstream, we have right now LVM, RAIN, Plymouth, and networking using the systemd stack and NFS, using NFS root BNFS before only for now. The two last profiles have been developed right now. And using custom configuration, we have networking, it's a network manager, iSCSI as a proof of concept, and whatever you can think of. I haven't found any technology blockers yet. So let's start with an example with a network manager. The configuration consists of, under etc, we have two site directories, mkosi.conf.t, with a drop-in to configure what we want to install there, and makeosi.extra to add a custom file system tree where we can add some custom files to the image. So the configuration drop-in contains what packages we want to install there, specifically Network Manager. If we want more binaries, for example, ping, IP for debugging, we have to install the packages that contains them. The systemd system preset file to actually enable the services in the initRD. And a custom configuration for Network Manager to not create wired default connections in the initRD by default. And that's it. I mean, we don't need to write any code or to do anything else. I mean, it's so clear. Another example, for example, how to translate an existing Dracut module into something more abstract that can be executed via MakeOS initRD. I chose Dracut PCR signature. This is an excerpt of the spec file. It contains a systemd generator, this putify generator.sh, systemd service, this PCR signature.service, and the binary, the script, it executes, the service executes when it runs, which is this PCR signature.sh. And everything is installed within the Dracut module. A more generic approach. I would rename the JQuick PCR signature module to InitID PCR signature, and the files would be installed in standard and well-known places in the system. So the system degenerator, the service, and the script executes will be in the whole system. And I would create two sub-packages, one for the JQuick module and other for the MacOS sanitary configuration. This is the current content of the module setup script. It installs some kernel modules, BFAT, and some NLS, some of the NLS. It installs DDNTR. It also installs the scripts it is providing, and it enables the systemd service in the initRD. And this would be the generic approach for only changing the lines in green. Now the files are in common places on the system. And this is the MacOS initRD configuration. Installing the MacOS initRD sub-package, installing the same kernel modules as before, and a systemd system present file to enable this service in the initRD. Again, it's very clear. You don't need to write any bash code. You don't need to understand the specific format of the JQuick modules. And it's pretty standard. Some using ends. DDNTR. So the way to install binaries using MacOS initRD is via RPM dependencies. So the sub-package needs to require core utils. And the generator and the service now are on common places on the system. So we want those to run only in initRD. For that, we need to check the presence of the etc initRD release file. So how to enable this in OpenSUSE Tumblr? We have a variable called initRD underscore generator. You can set this in etc/sysconfig loader and just install the package. Also recommended enable package caching because we are installing packages. That takes time. And if they are on the system, you don't have to download them. You just use what you already downloaded before. But we will see some things about that later. What we have done upstream so far, optimization fixes for OpenSUSE Zipper, handling GitHub devices, integration with SUSE module tools, movement and UDEP route, MDADM, breakpoints in systemd, networking support in network manager, rootfs aware NFS before in NFS utils, some profiles for MacOS initRD, and support for kernel module packages. As you can see, it's working in different projects, and trying to move things out of JQuick. Next, if there is interest, of course, would be the integration with transactional update and SDBoot util. I mean, the integration with transactional update would be easy, and the integration with SDBoot util would be more challenging because now there are some new JQuick modules provided to support for this encryption, but it is doable. So I will show you some test comparisons with JQuick. For that, I use these four test systems. The first one is an old laptop from 2016 with NVIDIA card. And the next are KVM machines, one with an LVM layout, other with RAID 1, and other with LVM on top of RAID 1. And I want to compare initRD size, the build time, and the system boot time. So the size. As you can see, compared with JQuick, can be the double, a bit more. You can think that it's a lot, but we have been working with a configuration shipped by the distro to remove from packages things that we don't need there. So it has a way to improve, but yeah, it is where it is. Number of kernel modules. A lot of kernel modules on my laptop because of the media drivers. No, sorry, but not so much. There are more kernel modules installed with Draycut than with macOS Initrd, because Draycut, with every Draycut module, installs a set of kernel modules that sometimes are not necessary. And macOS Initrd has a small set of kernel modules that are always installed, and then installs all the kernel modules loaded on the system. Firmware. Yes, that's what I meant before. On my laptop, having NVIDIA drivers, I have a lot of firmware files there. And why is it different from Draycut from macOS Initrd? Draycut is using the C binary helper with calling leakmod to resolve dependencies. And macOS Initrd calls directly modinfo. So one of these two tools has some flaws. I don't know which one. So this is a summary of what we already said. Draycut picks host files, and macOS Initrd stores packages. macOS Initrd adds all loaded kernel modules from the system. And the difference between the binary helper and calling directly modinfo. The build time. I only choose one of the virtual machines because the percentage of time spent in every section is similar. Draycut takes roughly 3.5 seconds, while macOS Initrd, if it has to download the packages, and I'm showing numbers under my specific internet connection at home, takes more or less 1 minute, and if the packages are cached, approximately 10 seconds. And this is where digging into where macOS Initrd spends its time. So the first and fourth columns are seconds, and the second and fifth are the percentage of completion. So the first bit jump is the zipper call with 3.5 seconds, and the other parts having some time is are related with the kernel, applying kernel module filters, running modinfo to fetch kernel module dependencies, and calculating required kernel modules and firmware. And that's at like 3.2 seconds. The other parts are roughly 3 seconds. So downloading and installing 100 packages take time. Caching RPM files helps. And the bottlenecks, external, zipper and modinfo, internal, some parts related with kernel modules. The boot time. For this, I rebooted the system between 300 for 300 times, reaching a multi-user target or graphical target on my laptop, and just taking the values from system de-analyze time, specifically the value of the initrd and the value of user space, because I wanted to check if there is some kind of improvement starting some services early in the initrd. And the legend as the test system, the percentage of improvement compared to Draycut, and the time spent using Draycut and its standard deviation, and the same for macOS. The standard deviation is a measure of variability. I mean, it compares how much is dispersed the sample regarding to the mean. And the lower the value, the more predictable the result. So the first one, my laptop, improves from 4.3 seconds to 3.7 seconds, probably, which is approximately 700 milliseconds. Yeah. And OK, maybe it's not too much because the complete boot time takes 20 seconds on my laptop. And the reason of improvement is we are avoiding 10-16 services from the unit file hierarchy that Raycut always has. And the measure for user space, very similar, nothing to say here. With LVM, so Raycut takes 1.8 seconds in etrd, while MakeOS in etrd takes 1.3 seconds. That is an improvement of 500 milliseconds. Yeah, as you can see, some variability in Raycut. And the reason is with Raycut, it has a custom implementation for LVM. And MakeOS in etrd just installs the LVM package, and the system service starts early. And user space, very similar, nothing to say here. With RAID, also a big improvement. From 2.2 to 1.3 seconds, that is 900 milliseconds. And the Raycut sample varies a lot. And also in user space, we improve from 2.8 to 2.0, which is, if you add to the previous 900 milliseconds, we have now 1.7 seconds less. And I forgot to say that in this virtual machine, the complete boot time takes 6 seconds. So this improvement is quite noticeable. And LVM on top of RAID, again, you can see a big improvement from 2.5 to 1.3, which is 1.2 seconds. And user space, very similar, nothing to say. So conclusions, pros. It's a faster boot. It's less complex. We have a clear ownership of packs. Any change on a package will automatically apply to the initrd. So no more systems break at boot that are not including this required binary or library by systemd. And easy to maintenance effort from the from Raycut to the responsible package. But that would be in an ideal world. Cons, slower build, larger size, limited R support, x64 and ARC64, fragile to packaging errors. If an error in a package introduces a build error, it can break the build of the initrd. On the other hand, it should be taken before in OpenQA. And it takes longer to implement features because there are hard dependencies of Raycut everywhere. And some upstreams can say Raycut is handling this, right? We are going to take care of it. Or we won't install new upstream services until Raycut support them. I mean, Raycut is a hotspot where almost everything is allowed. So it is very difficult to convince people to stop using it. So final, in my view, it's good for users. It's a valid alternative with pros and cons. It's good for OpenSUSE because it leads to improved packaging. It's good for Raycut because we started to remove and adapt custom functionality to the new upstream functionality. And it's good for upstreams because now can control their functionality without someone in the middle. Some references, that's mostly it. I don't know if we have time. No, we don't have time for questions. So.